Time is 1:45. Date is 21 March 1983. The place is 124. The judiciary hearing room located in the capital of Juneau, Alaska. Present for the hearing today are all members of the judiciary committee with the exception of Representative Coxon. As representation here, I guess, of staff, before the staff. Matters at issue today.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Malone.
Yeah, I just want, Don is down testifying in the HES committee. He's probably up here when he's done.
Yeah, I think Kathy just talked to him. Does that constitute a valid excuse? I guess so.
I just wanted to know where he had his priorities.
What, that he's testifying or that he was talking to her?
I know I pointed that. I walked down with him. He had to go in there.
In the latter case, it's probably okay.
Matters that issue today are House Bill 200 and a new bill we haven't heard before, House Bill 261. And we had last Wednesday or Thursday worked House Bill 200 down to the point that it is now. And had adopted a committee substitute for House Bill 200. And I think worked about as far as the committee could go in it and on it. And it's the committee's intention to move House Bill 200 from the committee today. Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move and ask unanimous consent that Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 200 be moved from the Judiciary Committee with individual recommendations.
The motion is to remove committee substitutes for House Bill 200, an act relating to individual rights of peace officers from the committee to the individual recommendations and ask unanimous consent. Is there objection?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Malone?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. This is the only committee referral on House Bill 200.
I believe so. There's no fiscal note involved, and I believe it came to the judiciary and goes back to the jail.
What's my?
Is there objection?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't know, maybe before voting on the motion, somebody could give me a rundown on this committee substitute. Some minor changes from the original bill, but
all right,
this must be all.
Steve Kramer from the staff will give you a rundown on the changes.
On the 15th, the committee adopted an amendment. The amendment was amendment number one to the original House Bill 200, which was on page one, lines 17 and 18. What we did was delete the following phrase. We deleted, in addition to the rights specified in Alaska Statute 1865-531. That's the only change made, and that was made by Representative Barnes, I believe.
Chairman?
Representative Malone? On the motion, I always had a question on this bill. Maybe I should have raised it an earlier time, but there's three separate sections of kind of like setting out. One is you got punitive action, disciplinary action, and then you got civil liability, and they have different criteria in them, and some of them have been a puzzlement to me, such as why under the disciplinary action that the after a year that the personnel file is purged after a year, for example. So I still guess I don't understand the bill very well, except its general purpose, which I approve, but I don't understand the really reasons that it's broken down into three different types of actions. Well, it seems that
well,
some of them are not.
Representative Malone, were you here when we talked to Jim Sterling and went back and forth over, we must not have been, when we did those three specific things, we talked about this being a paramilitary organization to a certain extent, and the reason for developing and holding personnel files, and the reason for kind of being an SOP for that kind of thing, and those kinds of organizations for holding it for periods of time, and then abolishing the files.
I don't remember that discussion, but I'll withdraw my questions. I want to hold the committee up on the bill and realize I did miss it, at least one meeting on the bill.
Yeah, we did discuss that, and apparently we've had this bill up, I think, four or five times now, and we did at length address that.
Could any of you... I've got one concern. As I understand Mr. Sterling's testimony and the exchanges I had with him, that a specific action of a police officer that's under investigation, the department essentially makes a decision whether to pursue it as a criminal investigation or as internal. My concern is, and he suggested that if it goes internal, anything that they may come up with may not be used against him at some point in time because of this agreement to participate in the investigation and obligations there. I'd pose the question, what happens and what impact this bill would have if during the internal investigation they came up with, after not having enough information to go a criminal route, that they go internally and then come up with information through that review internally that should result in a criminal prosecution. Have they essentially prejudged or eliminated the possibility of then going the criminal route?
No, I don't believe any place in the bill that says anything like that at all. If in an internal investigation they come up with a criminal matter, they certainly have the right to file criminal charges. What the bill does is if they once go the criminal route and he's acquitted or not found guilty, they then can't turn around and internally punish him.
Okay, so I got my concern is the opposite. They go to the criminal route and then criminal, somehow the case and a criminal action jeopardized because of the investigation they conducted internally.
I don't recall anything like that at all. If they uncover the investigation is the investigation, and if during an internal investigation he has the same rights as if you and I have just because he's a police officer, but if they uncover something as criminal, they certainly have the right to file criminal charges and have prosecuted him as a criminal.
Well, I thought he seemed to suggest that was not the case. If by the police officer agreeing to participate in the investigation and that case would then be thrown out, if they came up, or at least the evidence that they used in that situation could be thrown out.
Well, I think the case, if I remember him talking right, he said it was the case of somebody going to be prosecuted criminally found innocent or for lack of evidence, but not pursuing the trial, and then coming back and in an internal investigation uncovering something and then trying to use it to go back to a criminal trial. And he said it's I believe you're talking about Holly Booth talking when she said that, you know, if you have an acquitted murderer and he walks out of the courthouse, you can't turn around and bring evidence and retry him for the murder again. Mm-hmm. And that this bill doesn't make that any different for the police officer. You can't go back then and start an internal investigation and recharge him for the crime that he was just acquitted for.
And so in your opinion, an internal investigation for punitive action does not alter the option of going criminal should additional information be developed?
No, sir.
I think, Mr. Chairman, that falls under what the heading, what they call double jeopardy. I think the United States Supreme Court held rule on that. I don't recall the case. You try somebody for one charge and he passes it, well, you can't go back and charge him for another crime. give it pertain to the same subject.
Representative Malone, your objection maintained?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I didn't have an objection, I had a question.
Oh, okay, excuse me. There being no objection then, committee substitute for House Bill 200, an act relating to peace officers, draft marked leader will be the bill we will pass the committee today with individual recommendations. Pin the copy to it and put the CS in it and put the date on it.
You can put your pass on that. That wouldn't hurt.
I'm still confused about the layers on the bill. Thank you.
Schedule matter we had before the committee today is House Bill 261, an act relating to assignment of district court judges and magistrates. This is a companion bill introduced with the concurrence of Senator Ray in the Senate, so that we could speed through the House. The idea was to marry it at the end of it. We found what we think are some defects in the bill, and council would like to address those defects at this time and for consideration.
Right. In the file folders that all committee members have, of course, there's the copy of the existing statute pulled up from the computer this morning, and the bill was designed, according to Senator Ray, that judges who are assigned to a particular locality within their district cannot be arbitrarily moved after they've established what's in our 24th in that community. Actually, the bill as it was written wouldn't do that. It wouldn't accomplish what this designer intended it to, because I think it's probably based upon the confusion of what a judicial district is. And as the judicial districts are used, the four that we have, first, second, third, and fourth, anyone can be moved within that district, as apparently at the present time. This bill addresses itself to the way a presiding judge can transfer a judge or magistrate into another district, and that happens quite, or not frequently, it happens quite rarely.
For example, the judges all get the flu bugs at once in Fairbanks, so there might be a judge or two assigned from Anchorage to go there upon the request of the presiding judge of the 4th District. That has happened on a few occasions. However, I think the confusion arises in the designers of the bill think that if there is a courthouse at Seward or at Homer or at Valdez or Kenai, then that comprises a judicial district, and it does not, as the judicial district as the term is used in our statutes and in our entire established court hierarchy. So I had talked with Mr. Levy of the drafting service of legislative affairs today, and he suggested a change that would come at the end of paragraph C, where it says the district judge may be assigned to serve in another judicial district for a longer period if the judge consents to the assignment. That still doesn't do anything. I mean, that's in the proposed bill by Senator Ray and from Representative Russell. But that still doesn't do anything about reassignment arbitrarily and permanently within the district. So the suggested change would be a district judge, there'll be a sentence added to paragraph C, a district judge who has been assigned to an established court within a judicial district may not be reassigned by the presiding judge to another court within the judicial district. That would take care of the internal judicial district situation that we heard evidence about when we were considering the HB 79 challenge bill. This, by the way, does not have any constitutional problems as there, and I don't believe that it has, according to the suggestion. For example, I believe it's Article 16 Section 16 in Article 4 in the judiciary that gives the Chief Justice the right to transfer judges as he and assign them. And this in no way interferes with the Chief Justice's right to do that. So that would be the suggested change that this bill should have. I have talked about it with counsel for the Senate Judiciary Committee as well, and he was asking for a change in the bill in the Secretary to raise in the same fashion.
Thank you. Reverend Bart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Had it not been studied this bill in depth, I guess, a question if I may.
Certainly.
After having listened to your language, what would happen if the presiding judge wished to assign them outside the district, the judicial district?
He can still do that in the existing law, and this proposed legislation does change it for a period of up to 90 days. In that case, the presiding judge, say, of the first district would query the presiding judge of the third district and say, can you assign one of your judges here for a period of a week or two or a month or whatever? But if it went up to 90 days, then they'd have to have another order assigning such a judge. But they can transfer under existing law and under this legislation too, from one district to another to help out if there's a shortage in one regard.
May I do you have to take the tour to this place Homer and Anchorage? Let's suppose that you had a judge at Seward that had been preempted a number of times, and the presiding judge wished to move that judge to Anchorage. And if I'm looking at this bill correctly, they could, under prison law, do that. And if it's bill, they could still do that. But what is the purpose of the bill?
They the present law literally doesn't say that. It says that a judge or magistrate will hold court where he is assigned. And that is the only thing that it states about it. The bill as drafted by Legislative Affairs Agency wouldn't change that either, because it only talks about crossing boundaries of any of the four judicial districts. The suggested change that Mr. Levy would prevent a judge being arbitrarily assigned from his home area on a permanent basis. District judge has been assigned to an established court within the judicial district may not be reassigned by another judge to another court within that judicial district. Again, technically, it wouldn't prevent the Supreme Court justice from doing that, but it's the Chief Justice. Because it is part of the constitutional privilege given to the Chief Justice.
That's legal counsel. What was the change? I got to not be assigned on line 20. What was your other change you had on that?
A district judge who has been assigned to an established...
Who has been assigned?
Who has been assigned to an established court within the judicial district may not be reassigned by the presiding judge to another court within that judicial district. And perhaps it could be have better language. You might even say may not be reassigned, but may not be reassigned on a permanent basis by the presiding judge. That might be better language.
The committee to do little other than discuss it, the Department of Law has not, so the committee, that the court system has not given us a fiscal note on it, and can't, much as we'd like to see it, while we can't do it.
It's been called for, it's going to be on the plan, but it hasn't arrived yet.
Yeah.
Have the judges given you anything to talk about?
No, but they should be.
Given the difficulties we hear about the court system and having to transfer back and forth, different caseloads and that, why would we want to restrict the ability of them to manage the court system and transfer people as they see fit?
This is already, it wouldn't restrict them on a temporary basis. If it's still transfer on a temporary basis, it doesn't have to be now. But it could not be a permanent transfer from one of the counties. Because you see, the idea behind that was already is that a person applies for a judgeship and decides he wants to go to a sewer or a Valdez or a Homer or whatever. He does that, moves, puts his list down, and establishes that for 7 years, and then some situation comes up that the presiding judge decides to transfer them to another locality. But the judge may resist because he doesn't want to pick up all of the year and move permanently. And it's not preventing from being assigned temporarily or someone is taking temporarily. In fact, I talked to the presiding judge Mark Bowen in the bankers about that, and he said that he is putting in the code that some administration and certainly finding a different. I don't know if he meant for that to be
well,
or not,
but if it's in the interest of the court system and conducting justice and all that they do, why would we want to prevent them from doing it? Other than the supercounty of the individual person.
To see uprooting a judge who has been established and to not permit the individual room or sanctuary of the individual presiding judge to
it suggested that they're doing that to kind of community action for an individual and not being done because of the need of the court system and being able to adjust.
I don't think that the way you're going to suggest you're treated after the system.
So it's just to remind the legal system the only reason to do it. Yet we would want to prohibit them from doing it.
There's
90 days, there's 95 days, or 2 years.
They can still do it for a period of time, but that's what you're temporarily. It's done differently now for a few days or so.
But tell me why we wouldn't want them to do it so long in advance.
Well, for example, if it's like you're studying homework this time, you have not wanting to stay at homework, you would have liked to apply. You could have applied for anything, you could have applied for diabetes, you could have applied for funeral.
So we're defining the Horner Lakers for the event?
That's a pretty good idea.
Just to follow up on that line of thinking, it seems to me that it's sort of like getting the kind of made in the Senate. Well, the next step is that other state employees in high places are also going to want either legislation or written into their union agreement that once they get situated, they can't be sanctioned. It seems to me that I can certainly see that as a desire to situation by the judge. However, why is the judge given any more special consideration of someone who might be the
a director or a commissioner or have some other deputy director or whatever, or some, why is he any different than anyone else? And what's the benefit, what's the public benefit? And that's what I'm looking at. What's the public benefit in this piece of legislation, if any?
If I had to reach for the public benefit, first of all, the way to do this, really the dissent or the request and the Senate array, you know. But if I had to reach for a public benefit, I'd say that for him to take Hornaday's situation that allows the judge to do just exactly what Judge Hornaday did in the locality, to increase the, or within the law anyway, increase the minimum sentence that he gave for a specific crime and not have the fear being run out of town. It increases his ability to work within the framework of the law, so to speak, and not allow a bunch of attorneys to get together and preempt him and drive him out.
I guess the public benefit of training would be to, in the order of the system, the people at home that would testify a lengthy within 3 days, and that would then bring to the recovery about keeping their judge there. And as it is now, they are facing a situation where you need to be sanctioned. They don't want to be sanctioned. So it would be a public benefit, I suppose, to. But one of the probably in the middle of the whole thing would be more of a public benefit to people at home, I assume, in that kind of situation.
Certainly, you know what we're doing is taking advantage of the court system away from the only really possible court. Certainly, I'll be clear, I guess, in response to that specific situation. And I do disagree with the statement, what are you doing? What are you doing? You told him to stop doing it. But
he did stop doing it.
That's right.
I didn't stop the pattern of that.
But, okay, given the situation we had to stay there, if we heard all this testimony of crippling the court system in that area, I don't consider it unrealistic in terms of management of the court system if they did what they did. You can't manage the court system where you're supposed to.
It wouldn't take the managerial person to make it an entire issue. I mean, it would be still allowed to do this.
I'm sorry I came in late. I had a bill up in another committee, but have we had any testimony on this?
No, it's a brand new bill today. What you missed was that we really been introduced on this side, really kind of raised the request that we speak through. I didn't have any quarrel with it, but what we did when we saw it as that producer, we saw some defects in the language trying to do what we were trying to accomplish here. As we miscount some changes, at the end of line 22, there needs to be language added that talks about transfer of judges within the judicial district to accomplish what he was really trying to accomplish that.
Right.
And since then, the conversation has just gone along to the point of why are we making special considerations for judges when we don't make them for commissioners, for instance, or we don't make them for whoever else down the line. So he, in fact, is a state employee. I guess we could argue on and on that judges would be treated totally different than other state employees from right on down the line, from the way they're appointed, the way they're retained, the way on and on, retired. There's just all kinds of special legislation written for judges. Did you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I don't. We don't want to prolong it by having to repeat all the arguments, but just a couple of first of all, I really would like to hear what the court system has to say. I'm not clear exactly how it would affect their decision making, but I know that there's at least one Alaska Supreme Court case on the power of a presiding judge to transfer other judges. And I frankly don't recall now what that case says. It's certainly not the one of those cases. It's in some other area where we'd be doing one case. I remember the presiding judge in Anchorage pulled out of doing the grand jury. And there was some, again, don't quote me, but there's some suggestion that in fact the community wanted him out, and that he didn't want to leave. I don't remember the details. But anyway, there is a Supreme Court case that might be worth checking on, and I guess another question would be, if the judge has the consent for the assignment, what happens if the reverse situation kind of happens, or the community thinks the judge is terrible, and unanimously wants him to leave, and he doesn't want to leave? What happens in that case?
Well, I don't think this legislation will really affect on that. The state rule being one of the seven left. Does it listen?
No, it's Tom and I don't know. The case, we always come back to the heart of the case. It's kind of up to what self-initiative this type of legislation. Now, did you hear the testimony that the judge put in on that? From Judge Hardy,
Tom, yeah, right.
Anyway.
That was just
a counsel's input here. A judge requests to give an area where he is to serve. He requests it. Did I hear you right? So, Hornaday requested a homer, for example. He goes down, he buys a home, he raises his family there, he's got them all installed in school and everything, and he knows the community. The community likes him in this case, you see. So, here we have Judge rolling with it. Under the threat of all now, they're going to move him out of homeless back to Anchorage in June, you see. So, I think it's a better public service for the whole public to have a judge in a community that they know him, and in his case, they respect him, and or putting a hardship on him, because maybe a judicial counsel or something got against him and pull him out of there. But I don't think it'd be first place above the status of allowing the commissioner to say, I want to go over here or there. You know, let's face it, I mean, these judges are, they represent an awful lot of people as far as input goes. I'll do the same thing here, just as Ketchikan. You could try the same thing there or anywhere in the state. You see, once you get a judge in there, and in the answer to Representative Fox, and if he was terrible, the next election, he'd come out of it. You know, that's for sure. If he was that terrible, because people wouldn't retain him.
I think that the
I think there might be some reasons, probably policy reasons, but I don't think they've been brought out yet.
And one of them might be that complicated subject to end. But the way the judicial districts are set up right now, since the judicial district here is what, one first district, I don't know how many people are in that district. I know there's less people in that district than there is in the third judicial district. And although I don't know if one person, one vote should apply that kind of election. We vote in South Central Alaska on judges, our vote makes less of a difference in the selection of the judge than a person does in Southeast. And I think the legislature, this legislature perhaps, I don't know, but sooner or later ought to turn its attention to the whole idea of judicial districts and us raising legislation that Representative Grusendorf has been supporting. But is to The only valid argument that I personally heard against the peremptory challenge was that it, in a way, denied people who are voting on a judge to have that judge on the bench. I mean, that was, I consider that a fairly serious argument. And I think that the legislature needs to look at making the judiciary more accountable to the public through the election process, and that I don't think it's right, just from a matter of my own personal outlook, that when I vote along with 250,000 or however many people there are in the third judicial district, then in another region of the state, a person's vote has 3 or 4 or 5 times the weight that mine does in voting, my vote has in voting on a retention of a judge. And I think the legislature should look at that, because I don't think the present system, in spite of all the procedures we've taken, try to make that those elections more accountable. I personally don't think it works very well. And for instance, we have judges. Using my district example, whether it's Judge Hornady or Cranston or whoever it happens to be, they can be removed from office by a vote banker. And they might be retained even though everybody on the peninsula just sort of bums out. And I think we ought to look at that area. And I think this kind of bill touches on that question, and that is accountability, in a way, the accountability of the judicial branch of government to the people. I mean, the judicial branch has every right to be just as accountable to the people as the executive branch or the legislative branch of government. But I think it falls down at least in one area, and I think that area is subject to legislative remedy, and I think we should look at it. And the only thing this bill or the modification that was suggested by Ms. Brewer might do is be to at least give people, not so much the judge, I don't care if they transfer a judge either, but I do think it makes a difference to the people if that judge is serving. As a public official, I don't think of any particular rights or proprietary interest in the job. But as far as the people are serving, it gives them some sort of a idea of what kind of justice they're going to get, who the person is. And I think there's some merit from that viewpoint. But I do think that we ought to look beyond that and look at the whole idea of how the judicial districts, which right now are really administrative districts for the means of the court system, but they're also used for election districts. And I think that the whole thing ought to be changed. I think the legislature ought to take a serious look at a fair plan to do that, one that would allow the court to have the proper administrative, the necessary administrative flexibility, but nonetheless to make sure that system of government, that branch of government is accountable to the people of the state. And I get the impression sometimes that it's not. I think that the independence of the judiciary is important, but I don't think it's supposed to be independent of the people. I think it's supposed to be independent of the other branches. So, my speaking.
Thank you, Reverend. I do agree with what you're saying, and I think work is being done, maybe done faster than we could along those lines.
I also agree with comments. I guess in terms of preparation of this bill, as a senior vice president of banks, I move managers from one location to another as fit proper for the management of the institution. And I assume for the same way we say we have created a 50s position that they want to pick an anchor. And I guess if the commissioner or the governor at some point in time wants to move an office and an individual around, it's important that they do that and justify it. And I can look at any restrictions we place in law hinder the ability to respond to the changes that will develop in the court system that they have to respond to. And I guess as we discussed it, it really becomes more of this kind of a quick legislation to one person. It's about the only way I guess the only public purpose I can see justified. That's the Mr. Horning.
I hear what you're saying, and like I said earlier, I couldn't put the residential loan credit very different idea. I could put the same thing, but it takes a very constraint to the court to the community is served. And as soon as the judge is going to lay the confidence to the people, the court serves, that's the only community service I can see coming out. And it's the question that struck the other body had in mind here, and then nothing at the point of the situation I think that's what we need now. The fact that it spread to other communities, and that's what we need, it's a bad idea. I think you could reasonably assume that if the judge is doing it, and the same perspective from the community, that we're saying that the judge in Homer case decided to raise the penalty for drunk and driving and doing ancestors for 7 days or whatever, the only thing to do them the law perfectly legal, that he could probably expect the same treatment that the judge in Homer got. And he would put put my clothes in the same position and put it in there. He'd have to do something to move the judge. The cost of administering the court under those situations would be unbearable. We'd have to move him out to disrupt the court system in a line very different. This legislation would prevent that to a certain extent. It certainly wouldn't wipe it out.
So we let the disruption continue and we make sure that he can't manage his district in terms of shifting personnel around to deal with those circumstances.
It's true.
There's a difference between our mother being one of the situations we were talking about and the Gillian situation regarding Mark L. who was concerned with the magistrate there. Magistrates do not speak and are not appointed by the governor. They are appointed by the presiding officer judge. And there is no election of magistrates. So it's quite a different situation. It's like talking about apples and oranges. It's like that the manager and people of your bank are doing, you have to move around somewhat different than the public officials in the court system on the bench. The decision regarding myself and Gilligan, I don't think leads to proportions of affecting Mr. Gilligan. Certainly did talk to Mr. Bakken mentioned about magistrate. But they are in a different category because they are not appointed by the government, they are not elected in government elections.
Might it infer that you've introduced this legislation more by request, or is this a prior year years, or what?
No, it's just we introduced it to the Senate, and the idea was no question about it being a special interest, and we wanted to get it to apparently Mark Owen is going to move that door today, June 1, unless the legislature does that. So we move it. Whatever the legislature does, I don't know.
We're going to change the law dealing with all the judges in the state to satisfy that individual.
So whether you satisfy that individual or whether you assume that the law treats the problem that exists that could be applied in other communities. Once again, when we dealt with HB 79, everybody seemed we couldn't seem to talk about HB 79 without talking about Ornaday. But it was really a problem that exists. The preemption took place every place, not just in Homer. This problem is the same way. The fact that it happened has just taken place in Homer doesn't mean that the legislation problem can take place. And I think to consider this legislation in any other light would be an error. If the problem that if we don't think the majority of this community or the majority of the legislature doesn't think that this can be a problem every place else, then we should dismiss the consideration of the legislation. In my opinion.
Are we aware of any other problem in the state of Alaska that this is going to solve?
We're aware of any other problem, but we're certainly aware that it can happen in any other jurisdiction. And as we create, another thing to think of, as we create more Superior Court judge homes on places or areas, which there's legislation now to create one down east. We just had one created at Wrangell, for instance. As we create more of these areas,
the problem is the camping is in this kind of a situation, they're going to be increased. Isn't there a copy?
This legislation only deals with district court judges and magistrates. Is that, what is
the law with regard to transfer of a superior court judge?
I know about as much about it, but I'm blacksmith as anyone of us would. I know a superior court judge is running for it. I seek appointment for a particular locality.
Yeah, I think that the circumstances are the same. But so the question is whether the legislation should also apply to them.
I think that would approximately, if that occurred to a superior court judge, wouldn't it, if he were transferred, would that have to be by the Supreme Court justice solely, or by legislation? I'm not sure.
Yeah, that was my question. I don't know whether a presiding superior court judge can transfer another superior court. I know that they assign them, within Anchorage,
yeah.
For example, one of them becomes a divorce
judge too.
Whatever.
Think the question has ever come up, actually.
Yeah. The other question is, and that's a point, of course, because there's a general trend in this state to replace district court judges with superior court judges. So if you perceive there's a problem, and I agree with Mr. Winnie that there isn't, but if you perceive that there is, it's likely to be as much of a problem as superior court judges, because there are a lot of superior court judges in fairly small communities now. Yep, just a brief comment on the question I raised before about the consent, and I think Representative Malone has given a good response to why simply refusing to I don't think the legislation does address the question if the judge doesn't want to go, but everybody in the community does want him to go, what happens in that situation?
Hey. I think the voters might have something to say about that.
Well, but again, I think Representative Malone has used a good example. In his community, he couldn't do that.
That's right.
Because they're elected district-wide.
Unless
we do something with Representative Bruce.
I think also, if that was a situation, other than the magistrates, if the community hated the district judge so much they wanted to get rid of him, I think that he would probably be called as a non-profit judicial conduct commission fairly frequently, and with some probably spectacular result.
Representative Malone?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't understand the section of the law exactly, but maybe somebody else knows what it means better. But under 2210.140, it's a Superior Court judge who says the Chief Justice may assign Superior Court judge, and then it becomes incomprehensible. The judges is court personnel for temporary duty. Now, what does that mean?
Read that again.
The Chief Justice may assign a Superior Court judge, the judges is court personnel for temporary duty from time to time, not to exceed 90 days anywhere in the state, except to permit completion of hearings in progress or for longer periods with the consent of the judge. And I guess that means outside the district of appointment, but it doesn't seem that there's any bar for moving a Superior Court judge around either.
That's the same provision that this 2215 we're talking about. You are correct, that's the law that talks about transferring from one district to another. And as Mr. Lepaxi pointed out, they are assigned from city to city. But I imagine when Judge Fideli came down here, he had to be actually transferred by order of the Chief Justice.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, I don't know what to do with this particular bill. I'd like to have the language that Mr. Brewer was suggesting for addition to subsection C, but I think we ought to take a look at the whole idea about, I don't know if the one person, one vote argument makes any sense or has any application, but it's a fact that in the third judicial district, when we vote on a judgeship, our votes count less than people voting in other regions of the state. And it seems to me that the overall effect of that type of system is to make the judiciary less accountable to the people of the state. I think that both the legislature and the court system ought to be concerned with that, although as far as I know, the court's policy has been don't make the district smaller. It will affect judicial independence and increase the difficulty of administrative management of the court system. But it seems to me that with the ability for temporary reassignment and with also the ability from time to time to change those district lines, that the administrative argument falls a little bit short. I think it ought to be, the whole question ought to be pursued.
The conversation has been stimulating on the bill. That's what it was for. We saw the defects in it, and we need to consolidate the reasons for it before we can do anything else with it. As you know, Senator Ray has counsel too that's been working with this to develop this stuff, and unless it gets developed further, so we can all feel better about it, I don't feel too comfortable in proceeding either. And I think it's the committee's attitude that there's a lot of merit to the arguments representing Malone put forth. They're not unlike a lot of mine, and that those arguments will receive some weight in the near future as soon as we get some of this other stuff cleared away, I think. Being that all of us have a rather heavy afternoon, particularly with regard to this committee, I'd just as soon go ahead and stop discussion on this right now and let staff go to work with the Senate to try to see what they're going to do with it. And adjourn the committee to the business scheduled before tomorrow at 1:30. If it's 3 o'clock.
Did I miss something? I thought you announced we were going to handle House Bill 200. Has that been done already?
King is gone. If you'd like to sign the slip, you can.
We thought it was better than you missed it.
Great.
If there's something further coming, I will return to 1:30 tomorrow.